Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, here again as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, Father, so that the word spoken this evening are yours and not mine. And I'm asking Him to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this thy word, so that we can grow in knowledge and wisdom stronger, so that we can walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fulfill the things, Father, that you would ask of us to do. And I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning here with verse 1. And you has He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. 2, wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air of life and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, we take a look at those two verses, we find out He's talking about being quickened, which means being made alive. And in chapter 1 and 19, Paul prays for his readers to recognize what God's power has done in them. And as part of the answer to this prayer, he informs them of some of the effects divine might has accomplished in them. And you know, when we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we really don't know, and most of the time don't recognize, the things that God does do through us and who we have reached that has caused a difference in their lives. But it's time now, because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few, it's time that those that are born again children of God really stay in the Word of God and bring it into their lives and begin living it so it will come forth from them alive and doing the work that God meant for it to do in the things of this world. And you know, he also, the Son of God says, ye walked, which means you lived or we lived the course of this world. The word course signifies all the tendencies, the thoughts, pursuits, and deeds, and so on. And that characterizes the present period of history and this world, cosmos, is the language that they use, but it means this world or this world system. These philosophies, values, and lifestyles that are opposed to God and hostile to Him before conversion, and the Ephesians used to conduct themselves in accordance with such ungodly values, and the prince of the power of the air may be read the ruler of the kingdom in the air, also that they also use to live by the dictate and wishes of Satan, because he is, according to the word of God, the prince of the air in this worldly system we have out here today. And we're seeing a lot of those things come about that he is bringing forth through leadership of governments, even of our churches. We need to be very careful in who we are following, even within the Christian life, because not all of it is actually a Christian life, walking with the Lord our God. But a lot of it has accepted things that should never have been allowed even on their mind, let alone being brought into the church itself. But it has happened. And a lot of teaching that is contrary to God's word is happening today. And I'm not the only one that knows, that has seen this and has been led by the Spirit to stand against it. There are others out there, even some that are on television, are standing against it today. But you have to really be careful. Three, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, when we look at that third verse there, I want you to think about it, because we all had our conversation, which means we all conducted ourselves in contrast. Those things which refers to the Gentiles. And he also uses there in that verse, we. And this we he is using in this verse refers to Jews. In essence, Paul admits that the Jews were no better than the Gentiles. Both ethnic groups were sinful. Children of wrath refers to people subject to divine punishment. He's laying it out straight and honest. Very few today want to really accept the truth of God's word. That's why it's so hard to get them involved in a good and truthful Bible study, because they don't want the truth. They'd rather spend their time out here wandering around in the things of this world and accepting things that Satan has brought to being. Now, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, this but here, that starts verse 4, brings to disclose God's response to man's sin of verses 1 through 3. And this divine response is expressed in 3 main verbs. God has quickened us because they were morally dead in sins. The Lord gave them spiritual life. 2. And has raised up us together. That is, God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with its sinful ways and habits, but he brought them to a new life and demonstration of it. And 3, God made us set together in heavenly places. That is, he has brought us into his presence and into a intimate relationship with himself. And he has done that because even our prayers are directed and made to our Heavenly Father. And it's done so in Jesus' name. We don't get to pray to all of these angels and things that way. His word tells us exactly how to pray. And that's really what it says. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and I will hear from heaven. And if you know that I hear from heaven, then I will grant your wishes. You see, but you have to be a believer. You have to be that child of Almighty God. Your life has to have been changed. We don't just talk things. We have to live it. Now, 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, 7 is telling us that he might show or demonstrate and letting us say that this denotes the ultimate purpose for all that God did for the Ephesians. And it is that throughout eternity, he might make us understand more and more of his goodness to us. Because you see, you and I are to live by this New Testament here in the age of the church. And we know that we are living in the last days of time. We don't know how much more time we have. No one does. There are those out there that tries to proclaim, yeah, such and such a month, such and such a year. No man knows, and the Word tells us that. Not even the Lord Jesus himself knows. Only the Father. His Word tells us this. This is why I keep expressing so much and so hard to get you into this daily study of God's Word. Now, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift, you know, this for gives us the reason for this future demonstration of divine grace. It is because man owes his salvation to this grace, an undeserved divine favor. The force of the Greek perfect tense, are you saved, indicates that the Ephesians were spiritually saved at some point in the past, and at the present time, the writing, they remain in this state of salvation. Now, you know, he also lets us know that it is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that comes to us through grace. Our faith takes both. You know, God gives us this grace because it is by that we are saved, and we accept this by faith. And that means to you and I that no part of salvation is of ourselves or to do with what we do. You see, the whole of salvation is strictly the gift of God. Man is saved by grace that is by the kindness of God in having Jesus die for our sins, but his grace is appropriate through faith. It's appropriated through faith. That is, man's beliefs that God has done for him and relies upon Christ's atonement to blot out his sin and bring him into a proper relationship with God. Kind of strong, isn't it? Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, man is letting us know that salvation is not achieved by good works, and it is to prevent men from bragging or having earned a place in heaven by themselves. Because we can't do it. But in order to fulfill the word and the ways of God, they are things we must do. And the plan of salvation itself, that plan lets us know a whole lot about what we cannot do within ourselves. Now, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. He's talking about the circumcision that's under the Mosaic law, where all male had to be circumcised in the flesh. But you and I, as born again children of God, men and women are to be circumcised of the heart. That old man's sin has to be cut out. That is why we must be baptized rightly, understanding what is happening at the time that we are, and being in agreement with it. Now, then at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's what all of us Gentile nations were. Because we were not serving the Lord God. We served idols and many false gods until the Lord Jesus came along to save mankind. And then he brings us all together and brought us in to where we could become a part of the family of Almighty God. 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, he's talking there in 14 and 15 about breaking down the middle wall of partition between us. And 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself between one new man, so making peace. And he's made both one. Jesus has formed the two groups of Jews and Gentiles into a single new party, the Christian church. He did this by removing the middle wall of partition that is the Mosaic law. The law was meant to protect Jews from pagan corruption. But by misconstruing the purpose of the law, the Jews felt superior to Gentiles, who were increased at this well, they were incensed at this arrogance. So Jesus abolished this enmity or this hatred caused by an abuse of the law by making the law invalid for his church of twain one new man, as above. Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles now compose this one new man and this one new group, the Christian church. 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's no difference between us and the Jews anymore. And we both have to travel the same way in order to make heaven our home and become a part of his church. And I'm talking about the Lord's church. Now, 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you cannot make it any plainer than that. But you have to be that born-again child of God. Because in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, you will find where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, that we are told that without being born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God, can enter without being born again. Now, 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, this is our doctrine. Our doctrine comes from Almighty God, because it comes to you and I through the apostles, and they have laid the foundation and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself. And he is the cornerstone of his church. Now, 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple, the Lord. Now, you see, this whole building being carefully and harmoniously joined together raises into a holy temple for the Lord. And fitly framed together is translated above as being carefully and harmoniously joined together. And this implies the harmonious blending of the Jewish and Gentile believers in the church, his church. Now, the last verse, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, it stresses here that Christian Gentiles, as well as their Jewish counterparts, are part of the church. And Christians are viewed as a habitation or dwelling place in whom God lives through the Holy Spirit. Because we know, we have been told time after time after time, coming this far, we're going to be told that many more times the time we get through with the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit lives within those that belong to the Lord our God. We fulfill that plan of salvation. We begin walking in righteousness. We're studying and living his word. And we are filled the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, all living inside of us. That's what gives us the things we need to carry out the things that God will ask of you and I to do. And that power that comes from only God is carried to us by the Holy Spirit that works through us to accomplish the work. It's not by our power at all. It's all done by the power of Almighty God through the hand of the Holy Spirit that will work through you and I. We have now come to the end of chapter 2. And God willing, come morning, we'll see if we can't get in to chapter 3. But we never know what God's going to have for us. But his will be done. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together, Father, in this word. that we have a time of the morning, Father, that time being between 10 and 11 a.m. morning, and 6 to 7 in the evening, Father, Eastern time. Father, I love your word. I love teaching your word. Father, use me in greater ways. Not to lift me up before mankind, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in your kingdom. And to help others that stand in need of knowing and giving their lives to Him, so that they too, Father, can have eternal life. Help us to reach more, Father, each and every day. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, I pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, may all of the evil leadership be removed from office and replaced with those, Father, that are walking in righteousness, that yours, and that loves you and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves your church and your people, and loves this country, and that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance, and that it can be healed and set back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we prepare now to go our own ways for the rest of the evening and rest through the night, keep us in health, keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a good evening, great night. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night.